actually very fitting, because there are times in life where we find ourselves in difficult and dangerous situations, and that as Jews, and in particular in the context of Yom Tov of Chanukah, we have to believe in the possibility of rising above any challenge. You think about the fight that the Chashmonaim waged against an army that was much bigger than them, that was much stronger than them. We highlighted in the davening, Rabim Biad Ma'atim, somehow a tiny band of soldiers was able to defeat tens of thousands. Giborim Biad Chalashim, trained soldiers who were very strong and capable, somehow fell into the hands of the weak. But before we even try to understand how that miracle could come about, we have to ask a simple question in halacha. What right does a person have to put oneself in a dangerous situation? One of the son, a person could be crossing the street and that could be a dangerous situation. But how could an army of so few people go out against an enemy of tens of thousands? It's not brave, it's not courageous, it's suicidal, it's stupid, it's foolish. It seems impossible. It seems irresponsible. Yaakov Avinu in last week's parsha goes out against his brother Esav. He should have turned around when he got the message that Esav is coming with 400 men. He should have aborted the mission. Instead, he abandons his wife and children on the front lines to go back to get some pachim katana. Very hard to understand. Or how about Yosef HaTzadik in this week's parsha? The Mefarshim asked, how could Yaakov send Yosef to the brothers? He knows that they hate him. He's setting up. He's walking right into the lion's mouth, into the lion's den. The Gemara tells us in source number 1, La'olam al yamod adam b'makom sakan. God forbid a person puts himself in a dangerous situation. Obviously, there's much discussion in the poskim. What's considered a dangerous situation? Is driving a car a dangerous situation? Is skiing a dangerous situation? Is getting on an airplane a dangerous situation? Is playing basketball a dangerous situation? What's considered a dangerous situation? But a person should avoid whatever they assess to be a dangerous situation. A person should not put oneself in a dangerous situation. Lo mar sha'osin lo nes. Hashem will do a miracle for me. I'll take a risk and God will provide. Shema ein osin lo nes. Because sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do miracles. V'im osin lo nes, and if Hashem does perform a miracle, minachin lo mizchu Yosef. Miracles aren't free. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give out miracles so easily. Rav Shechter, Herschel Shechter, always says in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that the Rav used to explain, and it's one of the songs, one of the Zmiros of Shabbos, Kel Mistater. Hashem is a God of concealment. In other words, God prefers to hide behind the curtain. Hashem likes to run the world b'derech ha-teva. When Hashem has to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will step out from behind the curtain. That's what all of Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. Kriyas Yamsuf, Kabbalah Satorah, the Makkah is preceding that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers to not do miracles. So don't be foolish and put yourself in a dangerous situation and then say, Hashem, bail me out. And even if Hashem does, it takes away your zechuyos. What's the source? The words of Yaakov Avinu in last week's Parsha, Katonti mikol hachasadim mikol ames. Yaakov Avinu says, I have been made small, I'm unworthy of salvation. And if Hashem saves me, katonti, I've been made small because of your chesed. For all the times you bailed me out, Hashem, it's coming off of my account in Shemaim. It's coming out of my zechuyos. Our job as human beings is to accept a physical reality in which we live. And it's confusing sometimes as Jews because we're lamalim and a teva. I spoke at Stern the other day and I spoke all about our ability to rise above teva. Now Chanukah is so much about that. In some ways this is a continuation of that shir. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to embrace and to acknowledge there's a natural order to things. There's a physical reality. There are scientific properties. The Mesilas Yesharim writes in Parak Tes in source number 2, Da. Ki yesh yira v'yesh yira. There's a proper fear and respect for Hashem. And then there's another type of fear. Another type of awe of Hashem. Yesh yira ru'uya v'yesh yira shota. There's a way to be God-fearing in a way that's holy and beautiful and spiritual and elevated. And there's a way to do things which are, so to speak, dangerous, believing that Hashem is going to provide for you, and it's foolish. Yesh bitachon v'yesh holalus. There's trusting in Hashem, and then there's being irresponsible. There's being foolish. Ki hinei ha'adon baruch hu asa es ha'adam ba'al seichel nachon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a brain, the ability to think. V'svar nechocha l'shiyanaheg atzmo al derech tov, that a person should make choices and live his life in accordance with good decision making. V'yishmor min advarim ha'mazikim, and stay away from things that are dangerous. You shouldn't smoke because it causes cancer. You don't need a brilliant mind to figure that out. You should eat healthy food all the time, or at the very least, once in a while. Right? You shouldn't do dangerous activities. Asher nivro la'anosha sareshan. Stay away from the dangers. Why do they exist in the world, says the Mesilas Yesharim? To punish the wicked. Umi sheyirtza shelo yinaheg atzmo v'derach ha'chochma v'yafkir atzmo l'sakanos. And a person who's not guarded in his life and takes too many risks and is too much of an adventure seeker. And he said, well, it's fine because I'm a big believer. I have a lot of emunah and bitachon. Hashem will watch over me. Such a person, says the Mesilas Yesharim, that's not called bitachon. Ela holalus. It's foolishness. And you're living, you're opting to live in a way that denies the physical reality in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed us. Because Hashem wants us to watch out for ourselves. Hashem wants us to be safe. Hashem wants us to be guarded. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tavkuf Memvav writes similarly. Are there exceptions? There are exceptions. But says the Sefer HaChinuch, when it comes to the rove, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashkiach beprotei b'nei Adam. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And whatever's supposed to be is going to be. And if Hashem wants to get you, He's going to get you. And if Hashem wants to protect you, He's going to protect you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the details of your life. Yodea kol ma'aseyim. And Hashem keeps a very precise score of the things that you do. V'chol asher yikra lehem tov o ra b'gzei raso o mitzvaso. And anything that happens, be it good or bad, is divinely ordained. Yes, we believe that. At the same time, afal pichein, nonetheless, says the Sefer HaChinuch where it's bolded, tzarich lishmor atzmo min hamikrim hanahugim. Stay out of dangerous situations. Try to avoid, to the best of your, to guard yourself from the natural way of things, and if something is known to be dangerous, avoid it. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara olamo ubino al yesodos amudei hateva. Because the reality is that there is a natural world. There is a natural order. That's how Hashem built the world. V'gazer shetiyah ha'esh sorefes, and fire burns. That's how it works. V'hamayim mechaben alahava, and water extinguishes fire. And you don't have to be surprised when that happens. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's how Hashem made the world. U'kamo kein yechayiv ha'teva. Teva demands, the natural order demands. Shem tipol evin gedola al rosh ha'ish. If God forbid a rock falls on a person's head, shetiratzeis es mocho. Obviously it'll damage his mind, his brain. It'll injure his head. V'akadosh baruch hu chanan gufos b'nei adam ve'yafiach behem nishmas chayim balas das lishmor mikol pega. And Hashem gave you the ability to think because Hashem wants you to make good decisions. That's what Hashem expects from us. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, are there some people who somehow live above the system? Yes. And the truth is every Jew, again, has a shaychus to that, has a connection to that. Every Jew is somewhat connected to that. But most of us don't bank on that. Most of us shouldn't have the confidence. It would be haughty and cocky to think that I can go through life, I'm in such perfect standing with God that I can rely on miracles. We don't rely on miracles. Ein somchen al hanes. Concludes the Sefer HaChinuch in the last few words. V'lo nisachen estaf shoseinu al smach hanes. We don't do dangerous things, hoping and relying and wishing that maybe Hashem will do a miracle for us. But then there are times in the calendar year which are known for miracles. The Yamim Tovim are miraculous. The way the Ramchal explains the calendar is that the calendar is not linear. The calendar is cyclical, is circular. In other words, it's like a spring that's coiled up. And so to speak, when you come back to a certain point in the calendar, it's the same place that the original miracle took place. You're one level up. Time has marched on one level higher. But you're lined up with that point in world history, in Jewish history. Chayiv Adam Liras as Atzmo Kilu Yatsami Mitzrayim means, the Mishnah in the 10th parak of Pesachim, that when Pesach comes, I'm not just commemorating Pesach, I'm re-experiencing Pesach. I'm reliving Pesach. I'm closing my eyes and imagining myself leaving Mitzrayim because it's possible for me to actually tap into that miracle and to live it once again, to experience it once again. There's probably no Yom Tov, and we'll see tonight in a very clear way. And this is really, the shir is very much b'derech avoda. It's something that we really have to daven over and to really ask for on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Because there's probably no Yom Tov where Klal Yisrael were in a certain sense least worthy and saw the most open of miracles, the miracle of the menorah. There's almost no Yom Tov, arguably it's the Yom Tov that represents that opportunity to tap into miracles. And in a certain sense, as we'll see tonight, you have a reshus, permission is granted to even ask Hashem for miracles on Chanukah. Says the Kedusha Slavi in source number 4. Sha'asa nisim lavoseinu bayamim ahem bazman hazeh. What do those words even mean? Writes the Holy Barditchever. V'inei halo yadua shekol anisim v'chol ha'aros shenizgala b'yam ha'kadmonim. All of the miracles, all of the illumination that was felt at a certain point in the calendar year in earlier nations, mizgala b'chol shana v'shana. It comes back to us time and time again. You come to Chaf Hei Kislev, and you have an opportunity to tap into the miracle place at the midway point of Bayis Sheni. We're re-experiencing it. Chayev adam li atzvo. See it as if it happened to you because it can happen to you. Kigon b'chanaka, yishol chanaka, v'achasodim shahayi l'matisyo ben Yochanan kohen gadol. When we stand by our menorah, we think about the kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for Matisyo ben Yochanan kohen gadol, chashmonai uvanov. We think about the miracle of the menorah, we think about the miracle of the military victory, and we say, yes, that could be us too. A Jew stands in his home on Chanukah and lights the menorah. One of my favorite insights, I share it every year. The sefer called Mar B'Chaim, Rav Chaim Brim, one of the tzaddikim of Yerushalayim from the previous generation. Rav Chaim Brim said, we find a very unusual thing by Ner Chanukah. Amazing halacha. You're walking down the street, and you see someone else's menorah, and you make a bracha on it. The Gemara says there's something called a birchas haroeh. You make a bracha on seeing someone else's menorah. Very strange thing. Obviously, you don't make the bracha on lighting the menorah, but you can make the bracha of sha'asa nisim lavoseinu by yamim mahem bazman hazeh. What is that halacha? Imagine a person can't afford a lulav and esrog. You're walking down the street, you see someone else with a lulav and esrog, and you say, oh, wait, stop for a second. I just need to get a good look. I want to make a bracha on it. Oh, here, take it. No, I don't need to take it. I don't need to do anything. I'm just going to watch you hold your lulav and esrog, and I'm going to make a bracha. I'm going to watch you eat matzah, and I'm going to make a bracha. I'm going to watch you celebrate Purim, and I'm going to make a... We don't have such a thing. What is it about Chanukah that I can make a bracha watching someone else light the menorah? The pashtus, just to be clear, in halacha, is this is for a person who's not going to light their own menorah. Right? If you have your own menorah, you make the bracha when you light your own menorah. But a person who unfortunately doesn't have a menorah, maybe Rachmana Litzlan, a person who doesn't even have a bias, you walk down the street, you see someone else in their window lighting a menorah, you make a bracha shasani, someone watching their menorah, seeing their menorah through the window. What's that about? What is that halacha? It's very strange. Tosfos writes in one place, Mishum Chavivas Hanes, such a special miracle that you can even make a bracha just watching someone else's menorah. What do you mean, Mishum Chavivas Hanes? It was a special miracle in the Beis HaMikdash. What does that have to do with watching my neighbor light his menorah in his window? So Rav Chaim Brim explains, in Maseches Brachos, we have a concept in the ninth parak, and it's a halacha. The Mishnah begins in the ninth parak of Brachos, HaRoeh Makom Shenasa Nisim LiYisrael. If you see a place where a miracle took place for the Jewish people, you make a bracha. If you see a place where a miracle took place for collectively for the Jewish people, you make a bracha on that place. The Gemara discusses as well, if you see a place where you personally experienced the miracle, you can also say a bracha. Halacha l'maisa, again, I'm not getting into right now. I once got into a car crash in Muncie. My car once drove off the road. It chipped part of the sidewalk. And every time I go to visit my in-laws in Muncie and I drive past that spot, I say, Baruch Sha'asa, I don't say Shem and Malchus, I don't use Hashem's name, but I say, Baruch Sha'asa Lines B'makom Hazeh. And the scratch on the curb is still there to prove it. Baruch Sha'asa Lines B'makom Hazeh. So Chaim Brim says an amazing thing. You're walking down the street and you see someone lighting the menorah. Birchas HaRoeh, making that brach on his menorah, is because that menorah is mamash, an extension of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Your home becomes the Beis HaMikdash. The person lighting the menorah becomes the Kohen Gadol. When you make a bracha upon seeing that menorah, you're seeing the place where the miracle took place. You're seeing the makom of the nes. It's based on that birchas. It's based on that mishnah in Maseches Brachos in the ninth parak. And that's what the Kedushas Levi is saying here. Yes, every year you come back to that point in the calendar year, and you're literally tapping into the miracles that were back then. He says the same thing is true on Purim, the same thing is true on Shavuos, the same thing is true on Rosh Hashanah. Lachain, he writes where it's bolded, Hiskinu habracha sha'asa nisim lavoseinu bayamim ahim bazman hazeh. What does that mean? Bayamim ahim bazman hazeh. So you might say the Pashat Pshat is bazman hazeh at this point in time. Kislev. But what we're really saying, says the Berditchever, is no. What happened by Yamim Ahim is happening Bizman Hazeh. What happened to them is Bizman Hazeh. We have the opportunity in the days ahead to ask for miracles, to experience miracles, to see wondrous things like they saw once upon a time. It's happening until today, till this very day, Bizman Hazeh Mamish. And therefore, what do we say as part of the davening? In the Al Nisim, we say, Ula Amcha Yisrael Asisa Chua Gedola Ufurkan Kehayom Hazeh. What does Kehayom Hazeh? Explains the Holy Kedushas Levi. Ufurkan Kehayom Hazeh means, Lefianias Daiti, he says, four lines from the end. Yitachin Lomar, Klomar, Shekehayom Hazeh, just like the day that I'm experiencing right now, Hapurkan Vachua Shaya Oz Beyamim Ahim, Bimei Matisyo. Right now, I can tap into it. That is an awesome opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, especially on Chanukah. Especially on Chanukah. Sitting in the dark of 2,000 years of Golis without a Beis HaMikdash, to be able to close our eyes, or to open our eyes better, while we stand by the menorah, and to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see and to taste a little bit of those miracles that they saw once upon a time. What an amazing thing. And he concludes by explaining the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. Because the Gemara says, when did they institute the Chanukah holiday? Did they institute it right away when the miracle took place? They waited a year. Why did they wait a year? Everyone wants to know. The Gemara says, Lishona Acheres, the next year, a year later they decided, Chafei Kislev, we're instituting Chanukah. They should have instituted Chanukah the day after Chanukah. After 8 days, when they finally got new oil and lit the menorah in a regular fashion, they should have said, wow, those last 8 days were wondrous. Next year, we're going to celebrate these 8 days. Why did they wait a year? But the Kedushas Levi and others explained they wanted to see, a year from now, is it still going to feel miraculous in the air? When we get back to Chafei Kislev next year, the tzaddikim who have that spiritually refined and sensitive, sensory ability to pick up on that energy in the air, does it feel like Hanukkah? Can we feel the miracles in the air? If we can, then we're going to make it a Yom Tov. If not, it was a miracle for that time, not Lidoros. A year later came, it was Chafei Kislev, and they said, wow, this was a miracle Lidoros. And we're going to be Koveya, Kovum, the Gemara says, Kovum Bahal Vahoda. They established those days as days of Hal Vahoda. Let's learn a halacha that hopefully we won't have to use on Chanukah, but it happens to be, if you end up messing up and ending up being Zoche to this mistake, it's a good mistake to make. Here's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 5. We know that in addition to saying Al Anisim and Bimei Matisyo in our tefillos over Chanukah, if a person eats a meal, on Chanukah there's no formal obligation to have a suda like there is on Purim, right? But it's nice to fagrang a little bit on Chanukah as well. So a person has a meal on Chanukah, so we insert into the benching Al Anisim and we insert the Bimei Matisyo. Says the Ramah in his notes, of course, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Pei Zayin, in source number 5, Haggah, the Ramah writes, Ve'omrim al anisim b'chanaku v'purim, kol dem ve'alakol. Right? We added to the section of the benching that is expressing our thanks for Hashem. No delecha. Ve'im lo amru, and what happens if you forgot to say it? What's the halacha? You have to repeat benching, you don't repeat benching. Ein machzirin oso. You don't go back. Why don't you go back? You don't go back because perhaps you didn't need to have the meal. On Shabbos, there's more of a chiyav to have a suda, so if you forget ritzei on Shabbos, you go back. But here, you don't go back. Okay. V'ayin le'el simen tafri, v'ayin le'kaman simen tafri ish pei beiz. Look later on where I write about this as well. U'mikol makom, but says the Ramah, yuchol la'omru b'soch shar harachaman. But if you missed it and you're feeling bad that you missed out on the opportunity to say al-anisim, you can add a special harachaman. And what is the text of the harachman that you add? Ve'yomer, you could say, harachman hu yasalanu nisim kamo sha'asa bayamim ahem. You should say, Hashem, please, make miracles for me like you made miracles in the good old days. What's the problem with this harachman? And the Ramah says, v'hachi nahog, and that's the practice. This is the halacha. If you forgot to say al nisim, you don't go back, you don't say you're benching over again. Rather, if you feel bad, you can add this special harachman. Hashem should make miracles for us like he made for them. What's the problem? The problem is, we don't daven for miracles. Says the Shari Tshuva in source number 6. I don't understand. V'yomer harachaman, you could say a special harachaman. Hashem, make miracles for me like you made miracles for them. V'ayin mashakosav, he says, look what my ancestor wrote in the Sefer B'chor Shor on Masechah Shabbos. The afal gav demuchach bebrachos. Even though the Gemara in Brachos tells us on Daf Samach Amar Aleph, She'ein lispal she'yasal ones. We started this year where the Gemara told us you're not allowed to do something dangerous and ask for a miracle. You're also not allowed to daven for a miracle. We don't daven for miracles. It's inappropriate. Hashem is a kel mistater. Miracles are not always good. It's chaval if we have to force HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do miracles. Hashem doesn't like to do miracles. Only when he really has to. It's part of Hashem's humility. It's Hashem's way of not showing off. The Gemara tells a wild story in Masechah Shabbos and Daf Nun Gimel about a man whose wife passed away and he needed to nurse the child and he wasn't sure what to do. And all of a sudden he was able to nurse the child. The father was able to nurse his child. He was able to produce milk and nurse his child. And the Gemara has two opinions. The Gemara says, one opinion says, that's unbelievable. What a tzaddik. Look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to overturn the natural order of things that a man could nurse a child. And one of the other opinions of the Gemara is, nah, it's a terrible tragedy. It's a tragedy that Hashem has to step outside of nature. Chaval, that this guy couldn't figure out another way to provide for his child. Hashem doesn't like to show off. Hashem likes to operate within nature. That's what the Ramchal told us in the Mesilas Yesharim. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch told us. We don't want to force HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show off and to perform miracles. And we're not allowed to ask for miracles. We're not allowed to do dangerous things. So says the Bechor Shor in his commentary on Masechah Shabbos, I don't understand. Afa gav demuchach. Again, even though the Gemara in Brachos tells us, She'ein lispal she'asalones. So why am I allowed to do that in this harachaman? Mikol makom. Ke'ivan she'omer yasel lanu lashon rabim shapir dami. Answer number one. You're not allowed to say, Hashem, listen, you know, we're very close. Hashem, well, me and you, we've got some stuff we need to work out. You want to ask for Klal Yisrael? She asked, "Lanu nisim, that we as the Jewish people should experience miracles? We're a miraculous people. We can ask for the us, for the we. We're allowed to daven for miracles. For an individual, a person's not allowed to ask. It's interesting. Rav Reuven Margolius, in his little sefer of notes on the Shulchan Aruch called Nefesh Chaya, he says it has to be not just a tzibur. You can't just ask for a miracle even for a tzibur. It has to be for Klal Yisrael. Nothing less than Klal Yisrael, and he proves it from some interesting Gemaras and Maseches Pesachim. V'lechein benusach she'achar nesias kapayim, and the tefillah that some people say after duchening, you shouldn't say yaseh li nisim, rak yaseh lanu. And our whole Shemona Esrei is in Lashon Rabim for that very reason. We're always davening, refa'inu, baruch aleinu. Right? As part of the tzibur, a person has a right to ask. Okay, answer number one. V'gam yesh l'chalik, he says in the third line, perhaps we could say the following distinction. To ask for miracles that occur in a natural way. Right? So you'll say, that's natural. Rashi in Vezos HaBracha says it was literally a handful of soldiers against tens of thousands. But okay, it's a big upset, you know? Sometimes the underdog wins. Now the Giants won that Super Bowl that year, right? It happens. Sometimes, you know, the unexpected happens. It's B'derech HaTeva. Even that catch on his head was B'derech HaTeva. You know, B'derech HaTeva. It's a little B'derech HaTeva. It's unusual a little bit. It's not supernatural. So to ask for something B'derech HaTeva, you're allowed to ask. You can't ask for something supernatural. Aval tzarech lizar mi lispal she'as lones hayotzi B'derech HaTeva olam. You can't. So when we're asking for miracles on Hanukkah, so it says the Shari Tshuva in the name of the Bechor Shor, you're not asking for the miracle of the menorah. You're only asking for what? You're asking for the miracle of the victory on the battlefield, which, you know, it was a big upset, but it's still a natural victory. And then he concludes and he says, and don't tell me about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. He's referencing the famous story, well, the many stories of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's miracles. But how about the time Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa walked into his daughter's home on a Friday night? And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's daughter was all upset because she had poured vinegar into her candelabra for Shabbos. What's going to be with my Neros Shabbos? And he says, the same God who can make oil burn can make vinegar burn. Don't worry, it's going to work out fine. And her candle stayed illuminated the entire Shabbos, mamish until Havdalah. Says the Shari Tshuva, don't tell me about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. The Rav Guvrei, he was a different type of human being. His relationship with Hashem was entirely different. But the truth is, you read this Shari Tshuva, and you start to wonder, maybe there's another answer. Maybe Rabbi Chanina Mendoza can ask vinegar to burn just like oil, because in Rabbi Chanina Mendoza's eyes, there's really no difference. See, for us, if we saw vinegar burning, we would say, wow, it's supernatural. It's against the laws of nature. Rabbi Chaim Mendoza said, the laws of nature, as far as I'm concerned, is one rule: God runs the world. So if Hashem wants vinegar to burn, vinegar can burn. So maybe on Hanukkah, when a Jew has that clarity of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, when a Jew is able to realize and recognize the Yad Hashem in everything, maybe Hanukkah is different. And that's what the Divrei Shaul, Rav Yosef Shaul Nathan said. It's not on the page in front of you. He writes in one of his drushas, a drusha that he gave in a very difficult point in Jewish history. The Divrei Shaul, he writes in his drushos, he says, I'll tell you the answer to this question. It's true, we don't usually daven for miracles. And we don't usually put ourselves in dangerous situations and ask Hashem to bail us out. But Hanukkah is different. The rest of the year, you can't say such a harachaman. On Hanukkah, you're allowed to say harachaman, Hashem, please, yaseh lanu nisim. Do for us miracles. It's entirely appropriate on Hanukkah. We're tapping into that miracle that was then, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so happy to give out the Hanukkah gelt. He'll give us whatever we need. We have to just believe that we can ask, and we have to ask for it. The Gemara in Maseches tells a sad story. Rabbi Meir, who we spoke about last week, and his connection to Hanukkah, Rabbi Meir's wife, Bruria, had a sister who was taken by the Romans in hostage and was placed in a brothel. And Rabbi Meir's wife, Bruria, was all upset that her sister was being held in this very terrible and tragic way. And she wanted Rabbi Meir to go save her sister. So Rabbi Meir goes and he tests her out to see, had she been nichshel, had she sinned, is she involved in prostitution? Turns out she was very innocent, and he decides to save her. So he goes to the warder, who's watching over this, who's holding her, the guard. He says to the guard, I'm going to bribe you to let this girl go. What do you mean? I'm going to get in trouble with the government. I'll give you money to bribe the next guy also, don't worry. Right? So he says to Rabbi Meir, what's going to happen when the money runs out? When the money runs out, you just say, Elokad de Meir Aneni, the God of Rabbi Meir, protect me. You'll be fine. Rabbi, how do I know? So here's what happened. Says the Gemara in source number 7. Havuhanu kalve dehave ko'ochli inchi. Rabbi Meir says, I'll prove to you that it works. There was apparently a group of dogs that were known, some rabid wild dogs, that were known for ochli inchi, for biting people. So Rabbi Meir picked up a clod of dirt. Shakal kala shodabahu. He took a clump of dirt, shodabahu. He threw it at the dogs. And the dogs came charging at him, these wild dogs. Havaka'osu lemechle. They came to bite him. And Rabbi Meir looked up to the heavens and he, you know, rolled back his eyes like the Balatanya. And he said, Elokad de Meir aneini. Rabbani Shalom, God of Meir, save me. And of course, immediately the dogs stopped. Shavku aviyavale. The dogs left him alone, the wild dog. So he told this guy, You let my sister-in-law out of jail, and now you know the secret. What happened in the end? L'sof ishtama milsa be'malka. Eventually, the word got back to the government, and the guard got in trouble, and they took him to Zakifa, they took him to be hanged, and he screamed out, Elokad de'meir aneini, and they let him off. They took him down, and they said, what was that you just said? And eventually, he was able to negotiate his way out of it. So it works, Elokad de'meir aneini. Ask the Marsha in Maseches Avodah Zarah, hold on one second. Elokad de Meir Aneni, the God of Meir Aneni. When we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, we're tolin z'chus avos because the avos are no longer with us. We don't say Elokah, we don't say the God of a person who's still alive. We try to bank on the z'chus avos of the tzaddikim of yesteryear. We don't daven in our own names. Says the Marsha in source number 8, Yesh ledaktik, Heich yichid Rabbi Meir Shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al atzmo b'chayav. How does Rabbi Meir have the chutzpah to say, in my merit, Rabbi Meir, you're still in the game. At the end of one's life, we can assess, okay, this person died, it's tzaddik. We can say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. In fact, if you remember in Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu says, Elokei Avram upachad Yitzchak, and Rashi's busy trying to figure it out. Whoa, how can he mention his father? His father's still alive. You can't daven with your father's name. Maybe it's different. Yitzchak is blind. The blind person's like a dead person. But normally we don't daven in the name of a live person. So how could Rabbi Meir say, Elokad de Meir aneini? Explains the Marsha, an amazing, amazing interpretation. Says the Marsha, where it's bolded in source number 8, V'yesh Lomar, De lo amr Elokad de Meir, rak lesimen ba'alma al shamo. He didn't mean Meir, my name, Rabbi Meir. Yes, his name happens to be Meir, it's a play on words. But he was saying, Elokod de Meir, the God who illuminates, Aneni. The God who what? Who places the sun in the sky, who causes the stars to twinkle at night, in the merit of the God who runs the heavens and earth, Aneni. That's what Elokod de Meir Aneni. And then the Maharsha says, you know what? Maybe it's not actually the God who illuminates the heavens. Maybe, says the Maharsha, two lines from the end where it's bolded, Osha Amar Elokod de Meir Lanu b'malchus Yavan. Maybe he taught him to call out in the name of Hanukkah. In the name of the God who illuminated the menorah on the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, b'neis haneiros shel Hanukkah, Aneni. Ah, you're asking for a miracle. But on Hanukkah we ask for miracles. On Hanukkah we're not too ashamed to ask for miracles. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ya'aneinu lahatzil osanu b'neis miyadayim. On Hanukkah we're allowed, we're given permission to say a special harachaman, to daven for miracles, to tap back into, again, that point in the calendar year where Hashem did miracles for us in such an open and revealed way. At a period in Jewish history where that wasn't the norm, where that wasn't common at all. You can't come to the Yom Tov of Hanukkah in just a couple of days from now without reviewing the Beis Yosef's question. What's the famous question of the Beis Yosef? The Beis Yosef famously asked, why do we celebrate 8 days of Hanukkah? There should be 7 days of Hanukkah. Why should there be 7 days of Hanukkah? We had enough oil for one day. Okay? So we all know this is a famous question. We all know that there are a lot of answers. And we sometimes remember some of the answers. So let's review the answers. What are the three answers of the Beis Yosef? Number one, in source number nine. Number one, it could be shechilku shemen shevapach l'shmona chalakim. When they found one little jar, they divided it into eight smaller portions, and each night they filled the menorah with only 1/8 of the requisite oil, and somehow that little chalak lasted all night. Unbelievable. That means each night was a miracle. There was never enough oil any of the nights. Answer number two, says the Beis Yosef, it could be, od yesh lomar, shela'achar shenasnu shemen b'neiros ha-menorah kishior, Nishar hapach malei kibitchila. It could be they took the flask, they tried to pour it, it filled up the cups, and yet the jar was still full. Unbelievable. That miracle happened already the first night. Unbelievable. Answer number three, says the Beis Yosef, Inami, shebelel risho nasnu kol Hashem en b'neiros. The first night they poured everything into the menorah, vidolku kol alayla, and it stayed burning the entire night. Ubaboker matu haneiros maleim shemen. And yet, the next morning, right, it remained full. Okay? So, these are three explanations of perhaps why we celebrate 8 days of Hanukkah. The Me'iri, the Rishon already discussed this question. And the Me'iri heard about answer number one, and he didn't like it. Because answer number one is problematic. What was answer number one? When they had one jar of oil, they decided to divide it up front. They made a calculation. It's going to take 4 days in each direction to get new oil. Total of 8 days till we have new oil. So you know what? We have this much oil. We need it to last for 8 days. So they decided we'll divide it into eight portions. And we'll burn a little bit over the course of the next 8 days. That's against the halacha. Do the mitzvah right once, as opposed to doing the mitzvah wrong for 8 days straight. What were they banking on? What were they doing? Says the Me'iri in source number 10. Yesh mi shapiresh. Sha'af heim hergishu b'miyat hashemen. Some explain that they recognized they only had a little bit of oil. They divided it amongst those 8 nights. In accordance with the amount of time it would take to go and chazara, and to come back and to get new oil. But says the Me'iri, that makes no sense to me. How could they be somech on an ace? Pour all the oil in, do the best you can. You have enough oil for one night, so light the menorah for one night. It could be that the truth is, it wasn't a violation of halacha. Why was it not a violation of halacha? So the Chiddush HaRim said something very interesting. The Chiddush HaRim said, in source number 11, it's quoted in the Sefer Siach Sarfei Kodesh, that it could be, and this will perhaps explain, says the Chiddush HaRim, why we have the practice of mahadrim and mahadrim. We know the Gemara tells us there's three different ways to light the menorah. There's ner ishu beso, one candle per household. There's ner lechol echad v'echad, ner for each member of the household. And then there's something called Mahajrim and Mahajrim. According to Beis Shammai, it's 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. According to Beis Hillel, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And all of Klal Yisrael does Mahajrim and Mahajrim. Why? Explain the Chiddush HaRim in source number 11 in the second line. Vitirates. Sheba'emes lo hayu Yisrael somchan al anes. The Meiri says, how could they rely on a miracle? It's improper to rely on a miracle. Says the Chiddush Harim, they weren't relying on a miracle. You know what they did? They divided up the oil into 8 small portions. So Meiri says, how could you do that? But they also divided the wicks into very thin wicks. Right? In other words, they understood that a regular wick requires this much oil. A very, very thin wick requires less oil. So look what happened. They didn't rely on a miracle, says the Chiddush Harim. And yet, what happened? What was the miracle then? What was the miracle of the menorah? The miracle was that even though they used just a little bit of oil, and even though they used a very thin wick, it burnt very bright. In other words, even though they tried to do it in a halachically acceptable, minimalist way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it behider. So because of that, to commemorate that, we also do mahadrim in a mahadrim. But my friends, you all know the answer that I'm about to give you. And the answer to the Meiri's question, the real answer, I think, in a certain sense, the Meiri's question, right, of how could they divide up the oil, they knew it was Chanukah. Before, as Chanukah was happening, they knew it was Chanukah, and they knew on Chanukah, a Jew can ask for miracles. It wasn't Ein Som Chana Anes. That's the rest of the year, maybe. But on Chanukah, a Jew is allowed to be Somech in a different type of way. In the final source tonight, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago in a totally different context. But the Sefer Yetzirah tells us that every month has a letter, every month has an action, every month has a body part, every month has a corresponding shevet, etc. What is the letter for the month of Kislev? Says the Sefer Yetzirah in the final source, Himlich Osamach B'Sheina. We spoke the other week about Sheina, about sleep and dreams in the month of Kislev. But the letter for the month of Kislev is the letter Samach. What does the letter Samach mean? Why is there no Nun in Ashrei? The Gemara says, because Nun would represent a Nefila. Right? And even though the Nun is missing, we know it's a Nefila because we know what the Samach of Ashrei is, which is what? Somech Hashem l'chol hanofen. In other words, if all year round, Ein Somchen al hanes, we don't rely on a miracle, the letter for the month of Kislev is what? Is the Samach. We are Somchen. We are Somchen. It's interesting. The Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Noach contrasts the difference between Noach and Avraham. Right? And we usually think that Noach is less than Avraham. We think Noach is less than Avraham because Avraham Avinu is able to walk on his own. How about Noach? Es Elokim is Salich Noach. Noach needs Hashem to support him, Rashi says. But in a certain sense, as great as Avraham Avinu of course is, right, there are few people, if anyone, in Tanakh who has all the titles that Noach is given. There's something very special. Noach saved the whole world. Right? Noach, there's so many hints to Chanukah. Noach, Ner Chanukah. Noach, as Rashi Tevas, Ner Chanukah. Noach walks with God. Rashi says he's Somech on Hashem. And that's what we do on Chanukah also. Chanukah, the last Yom Tov instituted in Jewish history to carry us from the midway point of Bayis Sheni until Mashiach comes. The letter for the month of Kislev is a Samach. Because if all year round we feel it's inappropriate for me to overstep and to rely too much on Hashem, on Chanukah we say, Hashem, I'm relying on you. Somech Hashem l'chol hanofen. Somchin al hanes. We do rely on miracles. The celebration of the Yom Tov of Chassidus, the day that the Baal Tanya got out of jail, the seventh and final Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in 1932 sent a letter to his father-in-law, the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe of Lubavitch, and he wrote the following. To my revered father-in-law, the Rebbe Shlita. The Rebbe's letter, the memorandum of the 24th of the last month arrived, and from the depths of my heart, I thank you for this precious gift. At this time of favor, I will be bold enough, for my hope will strengthen me, to place a double request. Lubavitcher Rebbe is asking of his father-in-law, again, his father-in-law is still the Rebbe at the time, the Friedrich Rebbe. He says, I want to make a request, if such a request is necessary, and such a request will avail before the Rebbe, to honor me and grant me pleasure with such letters from time to time. Meaning, please keep sending letters. I'm lacking much of the informal background information concerning Chassidus, in particular with regard to its history and the explanations of that history. The Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, was a bucky in Chassidic history. His volumes, Lakutei Diburim, recount in the most unbelievable details, conversations, experiences that were transmitted to him and experiences from his own childhood with unbelievable historical clarity. Thus, like a person who has found great booty, I am happy for every new concept and piece of information which I gain. So keep sending me letters, keep teaching me from a distance. I cannot restrain myself from asking for additional explanation concerning a matter that has perplexed me for some time. Lubavitcher Rebbe says to his father, I'm bothered by something. What is it? I have repeatedly heard in Lubavitch we do not hold the miracles in esteem. We don't tell miracle stories. We're not into the miracle stories. You know, the Baal Shem Tov was traveling and all of a sudden, you know, Kvitzas HaDerech. Not such a big thing by Lubavitch. That's what the Lubavitch Rebbe said. That's what I heard. I also found parallels to this concept in the Rebbe's letter. Hasidim refrain from speaking about these matters and silence others who speak of them. Right? We're not going to make our religion out of miracles. Certainly the Hasidim, now here's Lubavitch Rebbe's request. Okay, 1932 from his father-in-law. Certainly the Hasidim of the early generations had no need for such matters, for their hearts and minds were refined. But in the present age, when due to the distress of the times, people's emotional potential have dwindled, and they are sunk in material affairs, their entire concern is for material matters, to the extent that refinement and an elevation of the soul are not felt at all. In other words, we're living in really dark times, and it would really help to tell a few miracle stories. That's what the Lubavitch Rebbe is asking of his father-in-law. On the surface, this is difficult to correct only by intellectual means, because that sometimes doesn't affect the person. They are too refined, too used to the first step. Miracles and stories of tzaddikim, and the wonders they perform, by contrast, generate lofty feelings within the soul. Tell us stories. Lubavitch Rebbe says, tell me a story. Tell me stories of miracles. I know we don't want to build a religion around miracles. And we said many times tonight, Hashem doesn't like doing miracles. Hashem is a kel mistater. Hashem prefers to hide. But there's a time and a place when you're up against the choshech of Yavan, against a really dark backdrop, that sometimes you just need a miracle to get you through. You need a story of a miracle, says Lubavitch Rebbe. And all the more so, our tefillah for ourselves in these days ahead is that we ask Hashem, show us miracles. Not just tell us stories of miracles, but allow us to experience miracles in our own life. So Mirtz Hashem, we should believe in this. We should believe in this harachma. We should believe in the possibility of bayamim ahim bazman hazeh. Again, it's not just a throwback. It's not a zecher to something that once was. But these next 8 days, starting this Sunday night, is an opportunity for us to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow us to experience, to taste those miracles. And Mirtz Hashem, each and every one of us should have our tefillos answered and see miracles unfold before our eyes. Good Shabbos and a Freilich and Chanukah. There will be a shiur, Mirtz Hashem, next Thursday. Zrat Hashem.